There will be a public hearing on proposals to change requirements for public benefit programs in Wisconsin tomorrow at the state capitol. We'll preview the bills during this edition of The Big Question. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 29th. But before we welcome in our two guest lawmakers who have different views on requiring drug testing for unemployment benefits and worker training programs and restricting food stamp users from buying expensive foods like shrimp or lobster and limiting the amount of junk food that food stamp users can buy, let me welcome in Bill Martins, as this is our spring membership drive. You count on Wisconsin Public Radio to discuss the big questions of the day, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-20
Well, we rallied a little bit at the end of the last hour, and we heard from 21 new and returning members. So thank
Excellent.
You very much for those pledges. This hour, we've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $6,200. $6,200 there. And that match is from 9XM Leadership Circle members Joe and Jean Silverberg from Madison. And we've got a 9XM member from Middleton, and it means they'll match every dollar you give. That's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love these dollar-for-dollar matches because generous listeners want to encourage you to also contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. So your pledge will be doubled up to $6,200 during this hour. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, you can get the fourth annual WPR Artist Mug when you give $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more. Your donation supports the programs you count on, and you can also get this beautiful mug. It's USA made. It's got a design by award-winning Wisconsin artist Nick Robleski. He's from Viroqua. It's a woodcut print with two swans soaring through a starry night sky. It's really a nice-looking mug. You're going to like it. So check out the design and ask for yours when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I want to try to help people recognize the importance of Wisconsin Public Radio. They provide such a good, non-biased background for us to make our decisions by. We need to recognize that the newspapers and the television programs are owned predominantly from the same people. So this is one of the few sources that we have non-biased information from both sides. Look at that and let's understand this little gold mine that we have.
You can make your contribution in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. There's been a lot of news about the state budget, and as proposed, the budget puts state funding for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting at risk. You tell us that you value the lasting impact of public broadcasting programs, news, conversations, music, even entertainment.
That's why Wisconsin Public Broadcasting, including WPR, is working hard to address the budget challenges as the process goes forward. Meanwhile, listener support is more important than ever. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is probably a preset in your home or car radio, probably in your home and in your car. You listen to WPR a lot, and that means it's time to become a contributing member.
Indeed. Help pay for the station you listen to so much. Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a pledge of $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember that dollar for dollar match is in effect this hour, up to $6,200, thanks to generous 9XM Leadership Circle members who want you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So your pledge of, say, $100 becomes $200. Make that pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're offering something very special during this drive. Ask for the 2015 WPR Artist Mug. It's yours for a pledge of $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more for the year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and get that pledge doubled in the process.
Thank you, Richard from Stevens Point, who pledged and says, WPR has been my only radio programming for international and national news and for excellent unbiased reporting for all manner of cultural, musical, and special programs over the last 30 years. I could not imagine life without WPR. Thank you for your contribution. Join Richard in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio and keeping the programming that you have come to count on strong. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let's not let that $6,200 match go to waste. If you haven't made your pledge, this is a great time to do it at WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and get that pledge doubled.
Thank you very much, Bill. Talk to you a little bit later. Now, on to our big question. Well, actually, big questions. There is going to be a public hearing on proposals to change requirements for public benefit programs in Wisconsin tomorrow at the state capitol. We have with us two guest lawmakers who have different views on these proposals, and we will welcome your questions and your views, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. In this segment of The Big Question, we will focus in on this big question. Should applicants for job training programs and certain unemployment benefits be drug tested? Let me welcome our guests. We have with us Chris Kapinga. He is a Republican state representative from Delafield and is vice chair of the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Joy.
Good to have you back. Also joining us is Evan Goyke, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee and also a member of the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with you, Representative Kapinga. Two of the bills at tomorrow's hearing require drug testing, one for applicants for state job training programs, the other for applicants for unemployment benefits in certain fields. Why do this?
Sure. I think there's a concern out there that, and obviously with a budget tightening that we have going on, we've got to make sure that we are safeguarding the resources that the taxpayers are putting into the system and making sure that they're being used appropriately. And when we look at unemployment insurance, it's an area that we've been spending a lot of time on over the last several sessions. And last session, we put a big change through in that to, again, protect and ensure the integrity of the program. These are just a couple of things that, as we look at the use of funds, we want to do two things. We want to make sure that the funds are being used appropriately, but also we want to make sure that if there's people out there who are struggling with addictions, that the state steps up and helps them out of that situation.
Yeah, and Representative Goyke, what's wrong with this?
There are so many better, more efficient, more effective ways to help people in need and ensure that the government is a good steward of tax dollars than cutting off benefits or requiring giving information or giving a urine sample before, dangling benefits out to do this. People are in need, and we can help them, and it doesn't have to be tied to taking away vital programs, helping our most vulnerable, our most marginal, our most in need.
Yeah. So, Representative Goyke, what's going to happen if these bills should become law? What's your fear?
Well, so let me, if I can, back up a little bit. The bills, at least the ones seeking drug testing, require a waiver from the federal government. There's some question of whether the Obama administration would grant that waiver. They then require a screening tool to be applied. So if I'm applying for these benefits, I'd have to answer a series of questions. And if those questions, if I admitted to drug use, then I would be drug tested. Here's the problem. People are going to drop off from the programs. It's setting up hoops and obstacles for folks to enroll in programs that they need. And I think the intent, the hope is a whole host of folks drop off these programs. And I don't think that's by accident. I think it's by design of this legislation.
Do you want, Representative Kapinga, people to drop out of these programs?
No, I think, look at what the legislation does. It says if there is a suspicion or a concern that somebody is using drugs, that we're not saying, oh, we notice that you may be using drugs, you're off the program, as Representative Goyke is kind of inferring. It says, hey, if we suspect that there may be an issue here, we're going to sit down, we're going to do a drug test, and if we find out that you are using drugs, it does not cut off the program. It says, we're going to help you through this. That's not taking benefits away from people, that's helping them, because the reality is, in the work world, if we want people to be productive and to be able to get a job, there's a lot of employers out there who are saying, we want to make sure that you're drug-free so that you are productive in our business or organization. What we're doing is we're helping these people be more successful when they enter the workforce so that they don't lose their job because of drug usage. And anybody who's dealt with this, and I've dealt with this personally in my family where we have addiction with drugs, it can ruin somebody's life and their ability to be productive in the workforce. And our goal here is to help people ensure that they can keep their jobs. And again, the goal, and Representative Goyke and I agree on this, is to ensure that people are helped up and out of these programs so they don't need them anymore.
What about that, Representative Goyke?
Well, I appreciate the representative sharing a personal contact with someone struggling with addiction, and that personal contact, I hope, inspires Representative Kapinga to understand that the details of these bills grossly underappreciate what addiction is and what people struggling with addiction go through. So if you're tested and if you're positive under these bills, you have to start treatment. What treatment that is, how many meetings, is it residential, that's unclear. And if you then have to continually be drug tested, and if you have positives, you can be removed and barred from reapplication. And addiction isn't simple. It's not cured by going to one meeting. Ask anyone that's struggled with it or anyone that's had a family member struggle with it. It's tough. It's difficult. And the bills totally underappreciate people struggling with addiction.
Representative Kapinga, some also, including State Representative Amanda Stuck of Appleton, say that other states have spent a lot of money drug testing only to find out there really isn't much drug use going on. How costly would this drug testing implementation be? And, you know, is it really going to help a lot of people?
What we did when we looked at implementation of programs like this, Florida is a good example where they went in and they did some analysis on, okay, we've got the program in place, and the cost to administer the program exceeded the cost of the savings in the benefits, essentially. But there's a couple of things you have to look at here, and that is, again, are we trying to help people? Because the long-term impact of bills like this is helping them deal with their addictions and learn how, again, to get away from them so that they can stay in the workforce. So the long-term impacts of this are, I believe, going to be very beneficial to the people who need the help most. And, again, if we look at this program and we realize that it's not working or there's a better way to do it, At least we're doing something with these bills. Right now we're not doing anything to help those people who are in addictions. And I believe it's our job as elected representatives to ensure we're doing everything we can to help those people get in the workforce. And these bills, they will accomplish that. They'll help us move in that direction versus doing nothing about it right now.
And Representative Goyke, employers tell lawmakers like Representative Kapinga that they can't get enough applicants who are clean, that they're having a hard time with getting enough applicants for jobs that that are not testing positive for drugs. So shouldn't something be done, as Representative Kapinga says?
Yeah, absolutely. Something should be done. And I just want to praise Representative Kapinga for admitting the fiscal folly of this legislation, where our costs will far exceed the savings, and the bills actually don't write out any fiscal impact. They require an estimate, and so we'll debate that a year from now or 2 years from now. In response, Joy, and to Representative Kapinga, we can do that good without changing the law, without restricting access. I'll meet you later today, tomorrow. Let's lace up our boots and roll up our sleeves. We can go door to door. You can come to my neighborhood. I'll come to yours. I know people have addiction issues. I've worked in the criminal justice system with people with addiction. They're out there, but we don't need these laws to access them. We could do it. You and I could do it tomorrow. Let's take up the cause and get it done as leaders, but without, you know, these kind of drastic changes in these benefit programs. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and scoop up people and cut off their benefits that don't use drugs. And so we can do it in a positive, uplifting way, and not in a more restrictive way, which these bills propose to do.
Any reaction, Representative Kapinga?
I just want to say it's really important, again, to look at what this legislation actually does. And that is to take the people who are struggling right now, and when we recognize there's an issue, it's putting help in place. And I appreciate Representative Goyke being open to working with us and doing something about it. And we'll debate these bills in committee tomorrow. But again, we're actually doing something to improve the system right now, and we're not taking people off of public benefit if we find out that they are actually addicted to drugs. We're helping them, and they continue to get the benefits while we help them. I think that's extremely effective, and we can sit here and talk about, yeah, there's better ways to do it, but that's just rhetoric at this point. We're actually doing something about it. This is a positive step and very important.
Representative Kapinga, I noticed that the two bills that are going to be discussed at tomorrow's hearing are for drug testing for the state job training programs and for unemployment benefits in certain fields. Whatever happened to the proposal to drug test for welfare benefits?
Well, this actually relates to welfare benefits. These are two specific bills that came out right now, so we'll have to see again what other bills come out through the Public Benefit Reform Committee. So we're waiting to see everything that's going to flow up through that. But Representative Warcast, these are two specific areas that were very close to him, so he wanted to make sure he got these bills out there, and I commend him for doing that, because we're doing something about it. We're not just sitting back saying we should do something about it.
We will take a short pause, and then when we come back, we will talk about another big question. We'll talk about some proposed restrictions for food stamp users that will also be discussed at the public hearing tomorrow. This bill would limit or restrict the amount of so-called junk food that a food stamp user could buy, and it would also restrict a food stamp user from buying expensive foods like lobster or shrimp. We'll talk about that issue in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This This is the big question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will get back to our discussion with our two guest lawmakers in just a moment. But first, Bill Martens joins me because this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive, and we are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time to support the programs you rely on, like this show. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Joy, we've got a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from 9XM Leadership Circle members Joe and Gene Silverberg from Madison and a 9XM member from Middleton. That means your gift of $50 becomes $100, $100 becomes $200, and you get the idea. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality, and so are you. The quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. You're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a critical resource for the state, and the only way that it's going to be maintained in the long term is to have people who support it. I think it's great to be able to hear what is happening in various parts of the world. I think it's critical to have that resource available, whether we use it every day or not. I like being part of the system that is supporting WPR. Being a supporter of WPR is important for everyone so that they can make use of the resource that is available in our state. I'm Doug Nelson from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you very much, Doug. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Seize the day. Pledge right now. While you're thinking about it, it only takes a few minutes to contribute.
You'll have the good feeling of supporting the programs you love, like the Joy Cardine Show. So join, renew, or make an extra gift at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. In fact, we still have, about $4,000 on the table. So we will match your pledge. Or I shouldn't say we will. Our generous 9XM Leadership Circle members will match your pledge. If you pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, if you haven't made your pledge yet, what are you waiting for? I mean, this is a great hour to do it. Your pledge of $50 becomes $100, $10 becomes $20. Whatever you can afford, it's going to be doubled this hour, up to $6,200. What a great gift from those listeners. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, thank you very much, Bill. Let's get back to our big question. I'm Joy Cardine talking during this edition of our big question with two state lawmakers who are on the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee. There is going to be a public hearing on three bills before the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee tomorrow. And we are discussing them during this big question. Let's talk about the second big question of the day. Wondering if you support efforts to require food stamp users to buy healthy food and restrict their ability to buy expensive food like shrimp or lobster. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guests are Chris Kapinga, a Republican state representative from Delafield and the vice chair of the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee, and Evan Goyke, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee and a member of the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee. Let's start with Representative Goyke this time. Republicans want 2/3 of food share benefits to be used on approved healthy foods. And this bill also says food stamps should not be used on shellfish. The thinking here is to realign the program as a supplemental nutrition program. Anything wrong with this bill, in your opinion?
Yeah, the food nanny the food nanny bill. I wish I could be more articulate, but this is simply a stupid idea. It would be nearly impossible and very expensive to implement. And it bases this diet off of the WIC list, women, infant, and children, what pregnant women should have during their pregnancy. I'm not a pregnant woman. I don't think Representative Kepinga is a pregnant woman. And our diets are different. And so it makes all of these bizarre changes in the grocery store of what you could buy or couldn't buy with your 67%. For example, a soft tortilla but not a hard shell tortilla, cheddar cheese but not sharp cheddar cheese, white eggs but not brown eggs. Totally unnecessary. This is an attempt to ban the urban myth of the food stamp recipient buying lobster at the grocery store. This doesn't happen. I live in the central city of Milwaukee. I share my neighborhood and my grocery store with folks on food stamps, and they're not buying lobster. Yeah. And it's just simply trying to ban this myth, this scapegoat image that just simply doesn't exist.
All right. Is this a myth, Representative Kepinga?
Well, first, I want to thank Representative Goyke for being concerned with the state of my pregnancy or non-pregnancy. And by the way, me and Representative Goyke have very good conversations in and out of the Capitol, so we respect each other immensely. Or at least I respect him immensely.
I do.
Again, the main goal is to make sure that we are eliminating the need for these programs. So that's the high-level goal. But in the midst of having these programs, we need to look at how to make them better. Now, we know that most parents are already doing what this bill does, and that's saying we're going to make sure that we have good, healthy food for our kids. But the reality, the unfortunate reality, and I know Representative Goyke knows this, is that there are a small number of parents out there that are not buying the most nutritious food for their children. And what we're doing is saying we want to make sure that all kids get proper nutrition. And we hear the horror stories out there. Again, that it's not, I don't think it's the large number of parents, but there are a few who are not doing adequate nutrition for their kids. So this is essentially federalizing. It's saying, hey, let's take the standards that already exist that the federal government put out, and we're going to apply that to the state and say it's 67% of the food needs to be in what's considered by the federal government a nutritious program. And we agree with that. So let's put that in place to make sure that the small number of kids out there who are not being properly fed get that nutrition.
Let's take a call from Costas in Beloit. Good morning. Costas, are
Hi,
you there?
Is it me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I am. I used to work in the Milwaukee area, and I live in the Milwaukee area, and I guess I'm concerned that this is a let-them-eat-cake kind of approach. My clients that used to live in Milwaukee could not go to a healthy grocery store like Pick and Save or Walmart to use their food stamps because they had no transportation. But there was fast food restaurants like Popeyes and Taco Bell close to them, so sometimes people have no other choice than to go to the street corner place to buy food. So by making it harder for them to even do that, really we are forcing them to go hungry. If we really care about them eating nutritious food, we should make sure they have a place where they can get cheap, healthy, nutritious food in their communities. And I'll have to ride the bus for 20 minutes to do that, I think.
All right. Well, Representative Goyke, you're in the Milwaukee area. How difficult is it for people, especially in urban areas, to get high-quality, healthy food?
It's hugely problematic. This is access to healthy food, and the caller from Beloit is totally accurate. We have in Beloit, but also in large swaths of the city of Milwaukee, what we refer to as food deserts. And let me just tell you, in my neighborhood in the central city, if I walk to my corner store, and bless his heart, he's a small business owner, he's trying to do his best, there isn't access like there is at a full-size grocery store. The prices are also much higher. WIC, the list that the Republicans have tailored, is brand and size specific. So if you go to a very small grocer who doesn't have a lot of fresh proteins and vegetables, you're really limiting what recipients can use the vast majority of their dollars for. Personally, I drive to the suburbs to go to a grocery store. And thank God I've got a car and access to that. But you'd have to get on two different buses to get to the grocery store that I drive to. It's a huge barrier. So we could tear up this bill and actually invest some time and energy into increasing access to healthy foods like mobile fresh markets or increasing food stamp access at farmers markets. And we'd achieve the same goal without restricting people's access.
How about that alternative, Representative Kapinga?
Well, I think it's Representative Goyke has some great ideas, and I'd love to sit down with him and talk through those if this is a specific situation or issue that he's concerned about, and the caller's obviously concerned about this too. But the reality, again, is this is a federal program that already exists. These guidelines exist for with recipients, and I have not had any proposed bills come forward through the committee to highlight the issue or to deal with the issue. So if it is out there, Representative Goyke, if you want to bring a bill forward that deals with the issue and in some ways to fix it, that's great. But that's not what this bill is doing. This is just saying we want to make sure that the children out there who are on public benefits through this program are being properly fed and getting the nutrition that they need. And I think it's the responsibility of parents to ensure that their kids are being properly fed. I don't think we want to take that responsibility away and say, well, because you don't have access, you don't need to feed your kids healthy food. That's part of the reality of being a parent.
Let's go to Sheree in Waupun next. Hello, Sheree.
Hi, good morning, Joy, and good morning to your guest. I have to say I'm really disappointed that we are at the stage in human development where we're really that concerned with what other people put in their carts. The food stamp program isn't just for kids. You have elderly people with dietary restrictions that use food stamps. You have adults that don't have any kids that are on food stamps. And I can't imagine, we all know people who are irresponsible with things. They're just, those type of people exist. Everyone's not going to spend responsibly. But to go after that minutia of people, you know, and to blanket everybody, if we were talking about anything else, if we were talking about gun rights or anything else, people wouldn't even be a consideration. But because it's something that we're helping people with, somehow it seems like to a certain swath of the population, it feels good to exercise control over those people because they're in a position where they can't help themselves as much as maybe other people. I think that is so just short-sighted and evil and mean, and not to mention the food deserts, not to mention transportation. There are other issues that we need to be concerned about than what's in somebody's grocery cart.
Thank you, Sheree. Well, Representative Kapinga, what about this isn't just, kids here. There are a lot of people that need food stamps to get by.
Yeah, I just think that when we look at the utilization of public funds, our responsibility as lawmakers are to do what we feel is best with the use of those funds. We're saying this. We care about what people are eating. We want them to be healthy. I mean, there's study after study about what you eat impacts how you feel. I don't know why you would not want to say, let's just make sure that 67% of what somebody buys is going to be good for them and healthy. And the public is saying, too, I believe, and we'll see this in committee tomorrow, that caring about what goes into somebody is important. And look at the lunch program revisions that we've had over the last several years. And even Michelle Obama has engaged in this from the Democrat side and saying, yes, it is important what people eat, because if we really care about them, we want them to have the best food. And this isn't restricting them and saying you cannot buy a bag of chips. That has nothing to do with that. This is just saying there's certain nutrition that people should be putting into their body. Let's make sure that they're getting that.
Well, we will take a short pause, and when we come back, we have the third big question to talk about. We're going to be talking about a proposal that is not on the agenda for public hearing tomorrow, but it is a new proposal that would require food stamp recipients to show a photo ID. Do you support or oppose this approach? We'll talk more about that coming up in our next segment. But first, Bill Martens joins me because this is the spring membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are asking for your support. And we still have a little bit of money left, I think, in our dollar for dollar match.
Actually, you know, we did, but then it just updated, and so now we just passed that amount. So great job, everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a $6,200 challenge grant there, but we just surpassed that moments ago. So that's great news, and thank you very much to those of you who've made your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio and also to our generous 9XM leaders who or members, I should say, who are behind that challenge grant. But, you know, we've got 20 minutes left to go in this hour. Let's keep going here. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I'm very pleased that that we did make that dollar-for-dollar match happen and that the support has been doubled during this hour. So, again, thank you very much. But it really only takes a few minutes for you to continue to make this hour and many more hours possible on Wisconsin Public Radio. All you need to do is choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you can do $12.50 a month, that's $150 for the year. Ask for the 2015 WPR Artist Mug, which features a couple of swans on a starry night sky. There's a big full moon. It's got a nice kind of a navy and white contrast by Nick Robleski. He's a Wisconsin artist. And again, that can be yours for $12.50 a month when you make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you didn't think that you could give enough to make a difference, think again. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, but that doesn't mean we're asking you for some huge gift.
No, many first-time donors give $5 a month for their WPR listening. You decide the amount that works for you and then make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Lisa from Madison who says, I listen morning, noon, and night. I learn something every day and I encourage everyone to listen and to learn. Well, thank you, Lisa, and I encourage you to also donate at 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've got 15 minutes left in this hour. Make that pledge and help support the Joy Cardine Show and the other programming you love on WPR. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks very much, Bill. We will talk to you at the end of the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to The Big Question here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have actually been talking about multiple big questions during this hour. There is a public hearing tomorrow in the State Assembly before the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee on a couple of different bills, three different bills pertaining to public benefits. We've already talked about the bill that would require applicants for job training programs and certain unemployment benefits to be drug tested. We've already talked about the proposal that would require food stamp users to buy healthy food with their food stamps. Now we're going to talk about another proposal that's not involved with the public hearing tomorrow, but is in the news. There is a proposal to require food stamp recipients to show a photo ID for their purposes. It's an effort to cut down on waste, fraud, and abuse, according to its author, Republican State Representative Jesse Kramer. He's proposing to require food stamp recipients to show a photo ID. Do you support or oppose this idea? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardin Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardin Show. Both of our guests are with the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee. Chris Kapinga is a Republican state representative from Delafield, and Evan Goyke is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. Well, let's start with you, Representative Kapinga. What do you think of this this idea to make people who are on food stamps show a photo ID?
Sure. Well, I thoroughly support the bill. On this one, the reality is, these issues exist. We've got abuse out there by people of the system that's in place, and we can either look the other way or we can deal with reality. And we know the abuse is real, and we're not going to stick our head in the sand and just say we're going to ignore it. There are and very few people out there say, hey, if you see a problem in the program, just look the other way. I think we have a stewardship issue here with public resources. Families are working hard out there, and they want to make sure that when we are taking their money from them through their paychecks, that we're using it appropriately. And the program actually says, just to be clear, too, the photograph would be on the ID card, the EBT card. So it's not pulling out your photo ID every time. It's having the photo ID or the photo right on the EBT card.
Representative Kapinga, could you give us some examples of how this photo on the card would cut down on fraud or abuse?
Sure. What it would do is it would ensure that the person using the card is the person that the card was issued to. So you couldn't have the situation anymore where somebody is going and selling their card to somebody at 30 cents on the dollar, and then the person who buys it can go and utilize that card. It's going to make sure that the person who's receiving the benefit will be using that benefit.
Yeah, and so, Representative Goyke, what's wrong with this?
41% of people in the state of Wisconsin that receive food stamp benefits are under the age of 18. It also is going to be, and I should also say 40% of the households have an elderly member, somebody that is blind or visually impaired or otherwise disabled. It's not just that simple, right? I think many listeners may hear Representative Kapinga and say, oh, it's such an easy, simple fix. It also puts the cashier in a grocery store into the role of law enforcement and the great diviner of whether to sell or not sell. And I think that is hugely problematic from the business owner's standpoint. And it, again, is not addressing the core problem that we have. You want to solve this. Let's get people working. Let's raise the minimum wage so that they don't qualify for food stamps, so this whole problem doesn't even exist. I want to end food stamps as much as Representative Kapinga, and I want to do so by having people grow out of poverty and not qualify.
Let's take a call from John in Beloit. Hi, John.
Hello. My comment is basically about the with the IDs. I've been in Walmart a number of times, and you've seen a number of people buying stuff for their families. And the thing is, they're buying for other people, and those people are allowing them to use money off their card to buy other things for themselves. And they're using it as a monetary exchange, which hurts the whole program in itself. And it takes away food from one person and gives it to another. And I know they're doing it for, you know, ease and access. But I also believe that it's just not a good thing, because we need to make sure everybody gets their nutrition. And if we segregate that out into nutritional blocks to be better off, I'll take my comment off the air.
I guess I'll have Representative Goyke address that concern and then go to Representative Kapinga.
I am uncomfortable with the idea that the government is able to divine somebody's intention with a piece of plastic that they use to buy food that they need because they're hungry and they live in poverty. And so I've been in Walmart too, and I try as hard as I possibly can every single day to be patient and compassionate and not judge and make assumptions about other people in the line in front of me or behind me, because I have not walked a day in their shoes, and I am exhausted fighting these proposals that seek to know what's happening out there, and the authors simply don't.
Let me, before I get Representative Kapunga to respond, we have Wayne in Sussex who has, a concern that's related. Go ahead, Wayne.
Oh, hi. Yes, my brother has got autism, Parkinson's, leukemia. He's pretty much homebound. He's 72 years old. My sister and I take care of him. We help take care of him. So we both buy his groceries. We visit weekly. He gets $100 a month. How does that help us?
Yeah, so is that going to stop Wayne and his sister from buying his brother his groceries, Representative Kapunga?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I unfortunately at this point I don't have enough details on the bill or what the program does to say that. I did hear that there may be some exemptions for situations like that, but again, until the bill actually gets slated and we have all the details on it for the hearing, I can't answer that question.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have to wrap things up. Let me kind of fold all of our questions into one final question for both of you. Representative Kapunga, we have callers waiting who think that this is just yet another example of trying to penalize the poor. Respond to that concern.
I think that it is the exact opposite. I think, again, what we're doing here, you know, whatever bill you're talking about, is we are protecting the integrity of programs. And if we truly care about the poor, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to help them up and out of the situation. We want to make sure that there are funds there when they need it for a temporary period of time. And if we have, if we have people wasting these resources inappropriately, that doesn't help anybody, because the reality is we are struggling with our budget, especially with a $1 billion increase in Medicaid alone, to ensure that these programs have integrity. And if we don't start addressing these obvious issues, we are not being good stewards of the resources the public is giving us through their taxes.
Yeah, and Representative Goyke, how do we preserve the integrity of these programs if not this?
They have integrity. There is incredibly low levels of any waste, fraud, or abuse. This committee held a public hearing earlier this legislative session, and it was crystal clear from the state agencies that came forward that the largest perpetrators of fraud or waste or abuse on our public benefits are providers. And think about it, the person in poverty, that all they have is a plastic card with $20 on it to buy a little bit of groceries to feed themselves, they're not a powerful enough actor to perpetrate some massive fraud on our system. They're actually the least powerful in our society, the most marginalized, the most victimized. And it's if there is waste and fraud in these programs, one, it's low, and two, it's provider-driven. And our state agencies that came before the committee admitted that. And I'll sit down. I'm in my office right now on the third floor of the Capitol. I'll meet Representative Kapunga later today to talk about cracking down on waste and fraud and abuse on the provider side, but not on people trying to get by living in poverty.
And I would ask Representative Kapunga and help facilitate that meeting, but we're out of time. So thank you both very much for being with us. Chris Kapunga, Republican State Representative from Delafield, and Evan Goyke, a Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee, both of them on the Assembly's Public Benefits Reform Committee. You can see our big questions posted online at WPR.org/joy. We've also posted them to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, so feel free to vote on those questions. I'm Joy Cardine, and Bill Martens joins me for the last minute or two of the program during this spring membership drive to encourage you to make your pledge to help support programs like The Big Question, where you hear from two lawmakers from different perspectives talking about important policy issues affecting the state of Wisconsin. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This has been a great hour, Joy. Great content and a great response from our listeners in terms of pledges. We've heard from 50 listeners this hour, and we've got a couple minutes more, so hey, not too late. If you haven't made your pledge, why not do it right now? It only takes a couple of moments, and you'll have done a very good thing when you log on to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, because Wisconsin Public Radio is dependent on listener support. Wisconsin legislators are busy planning the state budget for the next 2 years, and there's a debate about the level of funding for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. As proposed, the budget would result in a $3 million annual cut in the state support for public broadcasting. That funding has been essential to delivering programs throughout the state.
Wisconsin Public Broadcasting is working hard to address this challenge as the budget process goes forward, and listener support continues to be a vital part of the WPR budget. Your donation is more important than ever at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks so much for your support. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.